It is Thursday, July 16th. The markets are reacting to some heavy structural shifts that go way beyond your typical quarterly earnings report. Let's get into it. Corporate capital is taking a massive, violent turn. We are seeing a structural shift where money is moving away from legacy software and consulting and pouring directly into the physical bedrock of artificial intelligence. IBM recently reported a decline in share price. CFOs are gutting their software and consulting budgets to clear room for AI servers, memory chips, and data center hardware. It isn't just a budget reallocation. It is a complete abandonment of the old enterprise playbook. Companies that cannot plug directly into the AI data center stack are being left to rot. This is creating a bizarre, high-stakes environment for the tech giants. Hyperscalers are now borrowing money at an unprecedented scale to fund this long-term growth. They are issuing debt to build infrastructure rather than relying on their own cash piles. Credit analysts are scrambling because they have to judge these firms based on the potential for future AI revenue instead of past profitability. It is a massive gamble. Lenders are demanding complex new protections to ensure these companies don't just set that borrowed money on fire if the AI returns don't materialize. The hardware side of this trade is getting crowded. Taiwan's semiconductor manufacturing company, commonly known as TSMC, is committing $265 billion to its United States operations. They are building 10 fabrication plants and 2 advanced packaging facilities to produce high-end logic chips. They are betting that the world's appetite for 2-nanometer chips will be insatiable. Meanwhile, firms like Anthropic are partnering with Samsung to build custom inference silicon. They have decided that if they want to win, they have to own the hardware from the ground up rather than relying on generic cloud providers. But there is a dark side to this physical build-out. These data centers are not just abstract code in the cloud. They are local, resource-hungry monsters. They require massive amounts of water for cooling and place extreme demands on an electrical grid that was built over a century ago. According to recent energy reports, residential utility bills in some regions have spiked as demand for these facilities grows. We are seeing a growing, bipartisan grassroots movement against these projects. Locals are tired of finding out about massive, resource-draining facilities through non-disclosure agreements that block public scrutiny. There are reports of chemical discharge from cooling systems, and people are starting to connect the dots between these data centers and local health issues. Here is the thing. We are being told this is the future of productivity, but look at the risk profile. Developers are often treating environmental litigation and potential safety failures as a standard cost of doing business. They are building these things to last, but there is a real chance this technology evolves so quickly that these massive, resource-intensive facilities become obsolete within 5 years. We are potentially looking at a future littered with abandoned, toxic industrial sites. It is a hell of a thing to watch. We are taking a decades-old, reliable software economy and cannibalizing it to build a physical infrastructure that communities are already starting to fight back against. The market is also changing how it reacts to all this. Automation is taking over portfolio management. Investors are using AI agents to dump cash into indices the moment specific thresholds are hit. It moves the market toward intent-driven execution. It sounds efficient, right? But it also means that if your agent's logic is flawed, you are not just making a bad trade, you are triggering a cascade of automated, unthinking capital movement. We are moving past the model-as-a-service phase. The companies that survive this will be the ones that master hardware and software co-design and keep their processes in local, controllable environments. Everything else is just noise. If you are still tethered to a centralized, black-box cloud provider, you are carrying more risk than you realize. The capital shift is clear. It is moving into the ground, into the metal, and into the power lines. Whether that actually produces a sustainable, productive future, or just a massive pile of stranded assets, is the question nobody in the boardroom seems willing to answer. That is a massive bet on physical infrastructure. But that same obsession with efficiency at all costs is showing up in places where it has a much higher human price. The Trump administration has mandated a daily quota of 2,000 arrests for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as ICE. To meet these targets, the agency has reduced training requirements. This includes changes to instruction on firearms and the use of force. The agency has increased focus on aggressive tactics like vehicle stops. These tactics have been linked to fatal confrontations in Houston and Maine. Here is the thing about quotas. When you turn law enforcement into a manufacturing plant, you stop caring about the product and start caring about the output. The administration is prioritizing the optics of mass deportation over the safety of both the agents and the public. When you push undertrained officers into volatile environments, you aren't just creating friction, you are guaranteeing a systemic failure. The fact that the president personally intervened to reinstate vehicle stops after a brief pause tells you everything you need to know about the current priority. Accountability is being treated as an obstacle to the mission. We are seeing this same obsession with throughput over stability across the board. Look at the berry industry. Companies like Driscoll, pronounced Driscoll, have tripled global production since the year 2000 by optimizing supply chains and hybridization. It looks great on a spreadsheet, but they have inadvertently created a fragile agricultural monoculture where farmers are dumping traditional crops to chase the berry boom. If labor or environmental regulations shift, the whole system is primed for a massive supply shock. It is the same logic that keeps failing us in artificial intelligence. Right now, most large language models operate on a collection of statistical heuristics. They are great at predicting the next word until they hit a novel obstruction, at which point they fall apart because they lack a coherent internal map of reality. The industry is currently hitting a ceiling where throwing more data at the problem isn't making the systems more robust. We are moving from a phase of brute force scaling to a realization that we actually need models that understand cause and effect. Even the way we manage digital infrastructure is falling into this trap. Google Search Console's indexing report is designed to track long-term trends, but a lot of operators are treating it like a bug fix checklist. They waste time chasing down 404 errors that are actually just signs of a healthy, evolving site. It is a classic case of misallocating resources because we are looking at the wrong metrics. We are optimizing for a perfect score on a diagnostic tool instead of looking at the holistic health of the system. And then there is the political reality. We are seeing a structural realignment that is making every institution more brittle. The Democratic Party is fracturing over foreign policy, with over 100 members of the House recently voting to challenge military aid to Israel. That breaks a decades-long bipartisan consensus. Meanwhile, the Republican base is showing signs of fatigue. A recent Washington Post-Ipsos poll shows that strong support for the president has dropped from 19% to 15%. Voters are anxious about the cost of living and the tensions with Iran. When your coalition moves from strong to somewhat supportive, your ability to mobilize for midterms evaporates. We are also seeing the environment force our hand in ways we aren't prepared for. Wildfire smoke from Canada and Minnesota is being trapped by a heat dome, creating a localized fumigation effect for over 115 million Americans. This isn't a one-off event. It is a recurring stress test for our public health infrastructure that we are consistently failing. There is a clear thread here. Whether it is the deportation quotas, the obsession with search indexing metrics, or the reliance on statistical heuristics in AI, we are over-optimizing for the immediate win. We are stripping away the redundancies and the safety buffers that keep systems from collapsing under stress. It is a hell of a way to run a country, or a supply chain, or a software platform. We are so focused on the next 2,000 arrests or the next quarter of berry profits that we are ignoring the structural rot underneath. When the heat dome hits, or the political consensus breaks, or the AI hits a wall, we are going to find out that efficiency was just a fancy word for fragility. When you strip away the training, you strip away the safety net. And speaking of things that are falling apart, the way we watch sports is changing just as fast. The sports media landscape is undergoing a brutal transition. Regional and local sports networks are abandoning the old model of guaranteed cable fees in favor of direct-to-consumer retail apps. This shift is forcing teams and networks to move from simple content distribution to managing the complexities of customer service, app stability, and subscriber acquisition. Here is the reality behind the move. For years, regional sports networks relied on carriage fees paid by cable and satellite providers. This was effectively a tax on every subscriber, regardless of whether they actually watched the games. Now that this passive income is drying up, those networks are being forced into the retail business. It is a massive pivot. They are no longer just selling a signal to a provider. They are now responsible for the entire user experience. And if their app buffers during a high-stakes moment, it directly devalues their brand. The collapse of the Victory Plus platform shows just how risky this is. When teams like the Texas Rangers and the Anaheim Ducks leave a platform, it triggers a chain reaction of instability. Without a massive scale or diversified revenue, these independent streaming models are failing. Teams are now pulling back, returning to traditional over-the-air broadcasts, or looking to larger, established digital aggregators like Buzzr. It is worth noting that this is not just about the technology. It is about the product itself. In a direct-to-consumer world, subscriber growth is tied directly to how well a team plays. If a team has a losing season, people cancel their subscriptions. This leaves networks scrambling to fill the gaps with year-round programming just to keep the lights on. It is a hell of a way to run a business. And frankly, it is why we are seeing such a divide between high-value global events and local rights holders who are struggling to keep their heads above water. Take the Men's World Cup, for instance. It is evolving from a niche interest into a mainstream juggernaut. Because FIFA guarantees marquee matchups, the scarcity of these events allows networks to charge premium rates. They are successfully leveraging that scarcity to create massive, concentrated viewership spikes. Then you have the R&A, the governing body for golf, which is changing how it handles the Open Championship. Instead of traditional hospitality, they are moving to a tiered, multi-venue model because the old way of doing things is logistically impossible. They are essentially selling experiential fluidity to high-net-worth individuals, which is just a fancy way of saying they are making it easier for people to pay more money for a better experience. It is a necessary evolution for them, considering they had 750,000 lottery applicants for the 2027 event in just 9 days. But while these organizations are trying to turn sports into a responsive retail product, there is a separate issue brewing regarding institutional integrity. The NBA is currently conducting an investigation into the Lowe's Angels Clippers regarding alleged salary cap circumvention. The league calls it an independent inquiry, but that is a bit of a stretch. The league funds it, directs it, and keeps the results under attorney-client privilege. It is a procedural tactic, not a real search for truth. Because they lack subpoena power, they rely entirely on people choosing to talk. If an investigation finds a violation, the league can just bury the results to protect their reputation. It is a managed entertainment product, which becomes a problem when fans start to suspect that the outcomes are being manipulated behind the scenes. If leagues prioritize the appearance of fairness over actually enforcing their own rules, they risk hollowing out the entire product. At the end of the day, people watch professional sports because they believe the game is fair. When the business side of sports starts to look more like a shell game, the audience takes note. The era of easy money is over for everyone, from the local RSN trying to fix their app to the billionaire owner looking for a loophole. The ones who survive will be the ones who treat their rights like a product and actually follow the rules of the game they are selling. The era of cable bundles is dying, and the retail model is taking its place. It's a transition that's forcing every business to rethink how they manage their people and their output. Business leaders are increasingly moving away from managing teams through motivation and emotion. Instead, they are pushing toward rigid standard operating procedures and proprietary systems to handle growth. This shift is rooted in the belief that relying on human inspiration is inherently unreliable. When entrepreneurs tie their output to how they feel, they become vulnerable to market shifts and fatigue. The current consensus among these operators is that discipline, not passion, is the only asset that scales. By codifying tasks into checklists and automated systems, companies remove the friction of choice from daily routines. This isn't just about efficiency. It is a deliberate move to replace erratic, mood-dependent performance with a mechanical, predictable output. There is a clear tension here, though. While some argue that success is a mechanical pursuit, others warn that we are trading away the very skills that make humans effective. We are seeing a move toward what some call learning architectures. The argument is that AI lowers the cost of prediction, which means value is no longer in the final product. It is in the creative exhaust, the messy, unrefined notes and iterations produced during work. Organizations that capture this data into proprietary knowledge graphs can innovate faster than those optimizing for static outputs. But this comes at a cost. Traditional apprentice programs are disappearing. As firms rely on AI to handle task-level execution, junior workers lose the on-ramps they need to develop professional judgment. We are effectively unbundling the traditional career. The new model requires a shift from mastering a static profession to building a personal architecture that treats uncertainty as a constant. It is a hell of a thing to watch because it essentially treats the human element as a bug in the system. Founders are being told that scaling difficulty is a feature, not a failure. When a business hits a growth ceiling, the urge to pivot is strong. But the advice here is to hold the line. Changing prices or delivery models under pressure often just adds instability to a system that was actually working fine. The grind, in this view, is not the absence of problems. It is the ability to endure months of friction without dismantling the core of the business. Still, the human side of this is getting weird. 65% of startup failures are tied to founder conflict and broken relationships. While we are busy building these frictionless, algorithmic systems, we are simultaneously seeing a decline in the social structures that help people manage ambiguity. Remote work is fueling a kind of social atrophy. Employees are becoming less equipped to handle face-to-face friction, choosing to disconnect rather than engage with the messy nature of human collaboration. Here is where the logic gets a bit circular. We are told to replace emotional motivation with rigid checklists to ensure consistency. At the same time, we are told that the most effective leaders will be those who prioritize curiosity and play to navigate an AI-driven future. It is a contradiction that isn't really being resolved. On one hand, you have the push for psychological calluses, the idea that you should force yourself through tedious work until you are essentially numb to the discomfort of scaling. On the other hand, there is an acknowledgement that if we don't build intentional paths for connection, our organizations will become hollow shells that collapse under the weight of unmanaged friction. It seems like we are trying to build machines that act like people, while simultaneously trying to train people to act like machines, which, honestly, sounds like a recipe for a very specific type of burnout. The takeaway isn't that you should stop being human. It is that you need to be very intentional about where you apply your humanity. If you leave it to chance, the system will eventually optimize you right out of the room. Systems are great until they stop being flexible. We have a few other quick hits to get through before you get back to your day. A few other things worth knowing today. Thomas Tuchel's defensive plan against Argentina backfired, sacrificing England's attack and letting Argentina control the pitch. It was a tactical disaster that proved playing not to lose is a great way to actually lose. Spinning off high-growth business units from legacy firms makes sense for valuations. It lets investors price the growth separately instead of trying to untangle a messy, combined balance sheet. Leela Sciences is using AI-orchestrated labs to generate infinite scientific data. They are basically automating the scientific method to fill in the gaps that current AI training sets just can't see. American firms are moving away from frontier models toward open-weight alternatives. It's a necessary pivot to dodge geopolitical risks and the red tape that comes with foreign-made tech. If you want to protect your brain for the long haul, look into the Norwegian 4x4 protocol. 3 high-intensity sessions a week can actually restructure your hippocampus for years to come. The recommended daily allowance for protein is a floor, not a ceiling. Experts now suggest 1.2 to 1.6 grams per kilogram of body weight to keep your muscles from wasting away as you age. NBA bettors need to shop around for win totals. Different sportsbooks offer different lines, and failing to compare them is just leaving free money on the table. Some historians argue the U.S. Constitution was essentially a counter-revolutionary coup. It used procedural changes to bypass the Articles of Confederation and kill off the populist energy of the Revolutionary War. Tensions between the U.S. and Iran create a massive political trap. If the Strait of Hormuz closes, energy prices spike, and the administration's electoral hopes probably go down with them. The Atlanta Hawks are betting on multi-positional players like Zubi Ejiofor, pronounced Zubi Ejiofor, over big-name stars. They want a roster that can shift shapes, which is a hell of a lot smarter than chasing headlines. Anthropic's research on activation space confirms that LLMs aren't magic. They are just building up massive internal numerical values that dictate their next word choice, which makes the anthropomorphism in tech marketing look pretty ridiculous. Successful negotiation is a process of discovery, not a fight. You get better results by solving problems together instead of digging into adversarial positions the second you make contact. Regulatory capture in AI, especially through pre-approval mandates, is killing the permissionless innovation that made Silicon Valley. It turns competition into a game of who can navigate the most bureaucracy. AlphaGal syndrome starts when tick saliva introduces alarmins into your system. It triggers your immune system to treat a common sugar like an invader, which is a hell of a way to develop a permanent, life-altering allergy. That is the update for today. Thanks for listening.